Hey, this is Ryan Rogers, and I'm the pastor at the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope that this message gives you a glimpse of how beautiful our God is.
Today's message is really special. It's a personal testimony from my new friend, Rob Kyle. And I have been blessed as I've talked with Rob and heard how God is leading in his life in miraculous ways. We just finished a sermon series called God's Story, and as you listen to Rob's testimony, you'll be reminded that God has a story and that he's invited us into that story. You'll be blessed as you listen to this testimony, and let's be encouraged to follow hard after God in faith. And now here's my conversation with Rob Kyle.
Well, thank you, Rob, for sharing your story with us, and I appreciate you having us out here.
Oh, no problem.
I think back to a conversation that we had at men's retreat where we met, and I think I was walking by your camp and just stopped to visit for a while. And I think I asked you, so how did you end up in Alaska? And you said, that's a long story. Do you have time? And I had time, and I'm glad I had time, because when you shared that story, I was just blessed and I just was worshiping God. And even halfway through the story, I thought, we need to find a way to share this story with others. So here we are sharing the story, having it recorded. And I thought you could just take us back to there and share with us the story of what God's been doing, how he's been leading in your life.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, I think the best place to start is the same place I started with you at the men's retreat. I'm just telling you how that my wife and I, you know, we both had a desire before we met each other, we wanted to do mission work. And we always thought it was foreign mission work. And so we met working at a boarding academy. She was working as a teacher there. I was teaching and doing some stuff on the farm. And we met there, working there. And God actually led us to a bunch of different boarding schools. And every time, it was kind of, we were praying about where we were supposed to go. And we were always looking at the mission field, you know, a foreign mission field. And then it seemed like there's always an opportunity at one of these boarding schools, you know. And God always led us in the direction of working at these schools. There's just three different schools. And so that was something, you know, working at these different schools, you know, we were still thinking, Lord, you know, do you want us to do foreign mission work, or is this the mission work you want for us? You know, we kind of torn between, because there is something almost in a selfish side, you know, it's exciting about foreign missions. And sometimes, you know, when you're just working in the U.S., it may not be as exciting, but obviously excitement is not all that it's about. But, so we were praying, you know, Lord, how do you want to use us? Where do you want us? You know, we're willing, you know, to go where you want. And so we were, a year ago, at the beginning of July, a year ago, we were in California working at Weimar. And we ended up leaving. My wife was pregnant. We wanted to be closer to family. First grandchild for both sides. And so we moved to Arkansas. And we were working there in Arkansas, and I was doing mobile mechanics. I had my own business that I had. And it was enough to, we weren't making a lot of money. It was enough to get by. We were living out in the country, and we thought it was a great place to be. And so that's where our daughter was born. And it was a great place to be, but we still had that desire, you know, to do something to serve the Lord rather than just, you know, run my own business. You know, we're still trying to minister to people, but we wanted to do something that was more involved in ministry. So we're praying again, as we've been praying through our whole marriage, you know, Lord, where do you want us to go? You know, is it, and we were still torn between the idea of, you know, working in the education here somewhere, true education, what we believe it should be, and foreign missions. So we, you know, were praying about, you know, Lord, where would you have us go? Where would you take us? And so we ended up taking a call to Oklahoma Academy. And that in itself was a miracle, because that was February of this year, right before the whole COVID thing happened, in the middle of the second semester. They said, yeah, we need you, come. And so we came there to help out. And we knew that that's where God had led us. You know, he opened the doors. And we got there, we had a great experience. But at the same time, when we got there, it's like we were feeling the Lord, the Holy Spirit, you know, this is not where you're supposed to stay. This is a step along the way, but I'm trying to take you somewhere else. And so we're really praying about it. You know, Lord, what do you want for us? We're ready to go somewhere and stay for a while, because we had moved, you know, quite a bit in the last, you know, 3 years. And every time we felt the Lord leading, but it was like we go somewhere like, okay, this is where we're going to stay. But no, the Lord led us to somewhere next, somewhere else. And I used to tell my wife, it's like, man, the Lord must be preparing us for something, because, you know, everywhere that we went, you know, she was doing the same thing, teaching English, but I was working in a slightly different area. So did a lot with auto mechanics in one, and one with working on the farm, another place doing a lot with construction and maintenance. So different skills I was able to learn a lot more about along the way. And I've always enjoyed working with my hands.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, where they feel God leading them, and then the place that God leads them is only lasts for 6 months or whatever, and you go somewhere else, and then you have to have the faith that God actually has a plan beyond that.
Yeah.
And so that's just listening to your story, I'm hearing that these were not long periods of time that you were at these places. Just
yeah, one was 2 years, one was 1 year, you know, and the other place was again about a year. So yeah, the Lord, it really is, you know, he was kind of leading us step by step. And yeah, just because the Lord led us somewhere doesn't mean that that was the final destination. But it also didn't mean that he wasn't leading when he took us there. You know, he was, you know, there was a plan, you know, there was definite leading. And,
absolutely.
And so, yeah, we felt that again, you know, the Lord was leading us somewhere and we didn't know where. And we were really praying about it. And see, we'd always been interested in education. That's why my wife took, you know, education school, and I chose to work at that school in Heritage in the first in Tennessee, in the first place where I met my wife. And, you know, working at these different schools, we had an opportunity to see, you know, learn more, study, reading the Bible, you know, the Book of Education, you know, Spirit of Prophecy, and, you know, learning about, you know, what education really is all about. And we noticed, you know, something that, you know, a kind of a hole that was missing in some of the education that we see. You know, there's not a lot of practical training, you know, that we're seeing going on, you know, in practical trades and things like this. You know, everywhere we looked, you know, they had work programs, the schools that we worked at, and they were doing well, but there was no real, like, training program. You know, we were thinking that maybe, you know, if students are in an academy for 4 years, why can't they actually pick up an actual trade? You know, let their work time be learning something, you know, working in an actual business that the school is running, you know, and they can learn a trade when they graduate. You know, they could use that trade to work their way through college, or they could go out and just work that trade, yeah. You know. And so we didn't see that happening anywhere, really. And so that's something we thought about, like, you know, wouldn't that be awesome, you know, if the work program at the school was actually a training program? Because people go to a trade school, you know, in a year or two, they pick up a trade. You know, the students have a little bit less time in the academy, but in 4 years, they should be able to pick up a trade. And they could actually, you know, get a certification in it or something like this. And so that was something that we were really interested in seeing happening, you know, somewhere. But we never thought, you know, we just thought, wouldn't that be great if someone, you know, did that? Someone started something like that somewhere, you know, that opportunity, because we don't see that. You know, for a lot of Adventist young people, if they want to learn a trade, you know, the option is to go to a community college or a trade school or apprentice with somebody. And a lot of times those places don't have that great of an influence. And I think a really important, you know, a really awesome part of doing, you know, anything, any kind of work that you do, but especially a lot of these hands-on trades, it gives you an opportunity to really interact with people, maybe in their home. You know, if you're doing plumbing or electrical work, working on their car, you have a lot of, you know, interactions with people. And what a great way to be able to minister to them. You know, if these people can go, you know, they learn a trade, they could go anywhere and be a self-supporting, in a sense, a missionary. You know, they work the trade, they have a business in that community, they get to know people, and they can, you know, share the gospel with the people there in a really, you know, personal way. And so we, you know, saw that need that was there. And so we had been praying about it, you know, wouldn't it be great to be involved in something like that or something, you know, or someone started that. So that's kind of where our minds were when we went to Oklahoma Academy. So, well, maybe we could make this happen at Oklahoma Academy. And we thought that's where the Lord, maybe that's where the Lord has, you know, this idea. And so we got there, we met a couple other people that had similar ideas, and we started talking to them. You know, we're all really excited. You know, this is, you know, this is something that needs to happen. You know, the Lord will make it work. Because, you know, this is, we see this is his will. It's what's outlined, you know, something like this. And we want it to be, you know, not just the trades, but combined with, you know, learning evangelism techniques, you know, health evangelism, you know, all different, you know, reaching people, you know, gospel ministry, yeah. And along with practical trades and agriculture. That's a big, you know, foundation of any education is agriculture. That's what we wanted to kind of be the center, is a farm. And so we're praying about that. And, you know, someone mentioned the idea, or someone mentioned the idea of Alaska to me. Well, why don't you go and start a, you know, this, try to find a place and start something like this in Alaska. And my first reaction was like, Alaska, you know, that's crazy. I've always liked Alaska. You know, I've always wanted to go to Alaska. I've never been there, but there's multiple summers in a row. I planned a trip to Alaska. It didn't work out, but you know, I thought it'd be an awesome place to visit, but yeah, I can have a school, you know, the cold, the weather, you know, the distance, you know, from, you know, the rest of the U.S. and, you know, it just, it seemed like there's a lot of, you know, difficulties that would make it almost, you know, too difficult, make it not worth it. And so that's what I told this person, you know, well, this and this and this. And then afterwards, you know, it's like I couldn't get that out of my mind. The Lord kept bringing it back to my mind, you know, Alaska. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to look at. So I started researching some of the things and researching, you know, organic farms that are in Alaska, you know, what people are able to do, the season, you know, the daylight out, you know, everything. Because I've done a lot of farming. And so just researching, you know, finding out everything. And okay, you know, it is possible. You know, it's difficult. And you have to grow different things, obviously. And you have to work with it and learn how everything works up here. But it is possible. You know, and the same with a lot of the other objections I had, you know, discovered, well, it is possible. You know, and a lot of these challenges on the flip side of them, there's actually, you know, some blessings. Because if we want these, you know, someone's coming to learn practical trade and evangelism techniques, they may go somewhere. A lot of times the Lord calls us to work somewhere that's not easy. So there's nothing wrong with learning how to live with less, you know, live with little, you know, and work hard, you know, if they're going to go out and somewhere to do that. So challenges that we might face, things, you know, to get ready for the winter and, you know, that kind of stuff is, it might not be a bad thing. It's challenges are not always bad.
Yeah. And all those obstacles that you were feeling, I think I got an email from your wife towards the end of last winter explaining your intentions. And when I shared that email with others, they had the same objections. Like, well, maybe they're looking in the wrong place. But your experience was the thing that God put on your heart was something that you had a lot of objections to, but God said, we're doing this.
Yeah, and it's kind of like all the objections ever that I had is kind of they were gone, you know, as I researched and prayed about it, is they were gone. And, you know, like I said, a lot of people were telling me also the same things that I was, you know, I've been saying. People, you know, I kind of started talking to people about the idea and everyone kept saying the same things that I thought, you know, Alaska, how is that going to work? You know, well, that's a great idea, that's cool. I'll go in, we could do that anywhere, but not Alaska. I said, you know, anywhere else but Alaska. And, but my wife and I were praying about it and we really felt that God was, you know, that's what God had laid on our hearts, Alaska. And that in itself, you know, that was really showed me that God was working. Because my wife is, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit more quick, almost impulsive in her words and making decisions. You know, like, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. Let's do it. You know, and we kind of balance each other out. And she looks at more of all the, you know, wants to see everything, you know, all the questions answered and look at everything. But she agreed, you know, Lord is putting Alaska on our hearts. You know, we really need to seriously consider this. And so to me, that was confirmation right there. Also, my wife was not, you know, that was also, you know, believed the same thing. The Lord was showing the same thing. So we kept praying about it. And we said, okay, Lord, you want us to go to Alaska, but how are we going to do it? We don't know anybody up there. We don't have property. We don't have money. How are we going to start something like this? You know, we don't have the abilities. Okay, we could do the farm. My wife could help with teaching, but there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Yeah. And just remind us of the timeline. Like, when did you decide, yeah, God is calling us to Alaska?
That would have been probably in April of this year. Yeah. And so
So this is all of this that you're about to tell us happened during a time when the nation is shut down. You're not allowed to do things, go places.
Right.
And God is calling you to do some big stuff.
Yeah. Right. As everybody, you know, is, you know, on lockdown and quarantine, you know, God is calling us. Right. Exactly. To do big stuff. And, you know, so we just had to say, okay, Lord, we'll go. You know, we don't have anything. We don't know what we're doing, but we know you're calling us to Alaska. You know, we tried to look at different things and look at different options and nothing really was opening, but we knew that God was calling us to Alaska. You know, so together we made that, you know, commitment, you know, we'll go to Alaska.
Yep.
And we went to the, you know, to the administration there, Oklahoma Academy, and, you know, they were disappointed, but they understood, you know, we have to go where the Lord calls us. And we told them, okay, gave them a date that we were leaving. And, I got down to 2 weeks before that date, and we still didn't know where we were going in Alaska. We knew we were going to pack up everything, and we were going to go to Alaska. And then around that point, my wife and I were talking, and she, you know, had been praying, and she felt impressed that, you know, why don't we send out emails to the different, you know, pastors of the different churches, you know, and you mentioned that email, and that was the email that she sent out, and trying to, you know, get in contact with, maybe they know somebody that has property, or other people that have the same idea, or just to, you know, share with what the Lord was putting on our hearts. And we sent that email out. And I think, I can't remember exactly how long it was. A few days later, though, we heard back from one of the churches. And they said, you know, hey, we know someone that has property and they have the same idea that you were talking about, sounds like. And, you know, they're getting older. They're looking for someone to continue on with the vision that they have. And, you know, you should give them a call. It really, and also in that email, She said, I think you might be the answer to someone else's prayer. And
wow.
Which was crazy because it sounded like they were an answer to our prayer. And so it's like, wow, both of us have been praying. And so I gave the number. And so I call this person. They don't know who I am. I don't know them. And I have to introduce myself and explain why I'm calling. And the whole time I'm introducing myself and explaining, why I'm calling. Diane was answering just, with yes, yes, uh-huh, okay, okay. And I wasn't really sure which way the conversation was going. I wasn't sure what she was thinking. And I got through explaining why we're calling. She started crying. And, she told my wife and I, she said, just 20 minutes ago, we just got off the knees begging the Lord to send people to come and work and help us turn this into a school, and they had been specifically praying for a farm manager. And that's the area that my wife and I really, feel a burden for, is the agriculture aspect of the education. And they were specifically praying. They planted crops in the ground, knowing that they wouldn't be able to bring them to harvest, and they needed somebody to come.
Awesome.
Now, 20 minutes before we called. And that to us was just like a huge, wow, they were an answer to our prayer. We were an answer to their prayer. The Lord heard our prayers, brought us together at the right time. And so they started explaining more of, okay, what are your ideas? And it fell right in line with what the Lord had been placing on our hearts. Mm-hmm. And then they shared, there's other people, not just, the people that own this product, there's other people they've been talking to. And all in the last year, about 3 or 4 other individuals that have had the same burden, that have been connected in various other ways, with the same idea. To have a practical training school, a missionary training school, a trade school in Alaska,
yeah.
which is crazy. And then
that's when you know that it's not just your idea. It's
right.
It's God's,
Lord has given,
idea.
It's God's yeah. idea. He's given it to other people and sharing some of the very same things that, the Lord, specific things the Lord had placed on our hearts that I had never heard anyone else mention. They mentioned the exact things that we have been talking about. And that's how I knew the Lord. Exactly. The Lord had placed that vision on other people's hearts.
And for those who are listening and they're thinking, I have this desire, but nothing else. Like when you sent those emails out, all you had were practical skills and a vision. You didn't have land. You didn't know anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No money. And so we said, okay, well, we're planning to leave Oklahoma Academy on, when was it? July 1. We will leave Oklahoma Academy, and then we'll go visit family, and we'll head up to Alaska, the end of July. So right around now, we would have been heading up here.
Yep.
And they said, well, we need you now. We need you right now. We have these crops in the ground. We need you to come right now. And my wife and I took a couple days to pray about it, but we really believe the Lord, we've been praying, asked the Lord to lead us, and he opened the door, and the call was there to come now. So we said, okay, we'll come. And we kind of thought about the verse, Matthew 19:29. It says if you leave father, mother, brother, sisters, you'll have returned 100-fold, as a paraphrase, and have eternal life, something like
yep.
that. And and not that it's not like we're leaving them behind, we'll never see them again. and our families, praise the Lord, they understood. We said, hey, we have to go now. Lord is calling us. And so we're heading up to Alaska. Now we have a destination, really excited. But the next obstacle to overcome is a vehicle to get there. And, this is during the COVID crisis, so the borders are closed. I called the Canadian Border Services Agency. They told me that there's no way you can cross unless you can prove that you own land in Alaska, you're a resident, or you can prove that you have a lease there and you're a full-time resident and you're going back up to Alaska. Well, obviously, I didn't have any of that. But we knew the Lord was calling us to go. And so we decided to go, and we had to get a vehicle. I didn't have a vehicle that was worthy of driving that far. So I was praying and searching for vehicles. I like to buy wrecked vehicles and fix them. And usually I can find, plenty of them. I just don't have enough money to buy them all. There's more than enough. There's all kinds of vehicles out there that are, good buys. But this time I couldn't find anything. I was getting down to 3 days. No, it was about maybe 4 or 5 days before it was time to leave. We still didn't have a vehicle. And I looked in the auction, and there was a vehicle, the perfect vehicle, and, I had a price, I prayed about it at a price that I was only willing to bid up to this amount, and if it went for that amount, then I would buy it, that amount or less. And it went to that exact amount. People were bidding me up, and then right at that amount, no one else bid. Won the truck.
Yeah.
And so, and it was a huge answer to prayer. So we got that vehicle, and we were getting ready, everything packed up to go, and then we got a call from up in Alaska, and there's some horses, draft horses, to work on the farm and do other things that have been donated in Montana, along with other stuff. And there's no way, the truck that I had bought was a half-ton truck. There's no way I could pull all her stuff and the horses up. And so my first inclination was to say, well, I'll have to find someone else, some other way to get them up, because I can't do it.
And you're in Oklahoma at this time.
Oklahoma.
Getting a truck, you need to go through Montana, get horses. So
yeah.
A couple days from now. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out, what in the world are we going to do? And so I prayed, and I realized, you know, Lord, you provided the first truck. Why can't you provide the second one? And, you know, we need another, a bigger truck, another truck to pull those horses and other equipment that would have been donated up to Alaska. So praying and looked the next day, looked on the auction. A perfect truck came up, and I didn't have the money to buy it. But I called a friend, and the Lord impressed me, you know, you should call this friend. And he was interested. He has the same idea. He's not able to come up and do anything right now. And I called him. And he said, yeah, I'll buy the truck. Just, you know, sell it for whatever it is when you get up there. And so we got the truck. Again, it was a good deal. So I had to fly out to Salt Lake City, pick up the truck, drive it, you know, 1,700 miles in less than 24 hours, get back, load it up, and turn around and drive to Alaska the next day.
Yeah, that's a good preparation for driving to Alaska the next day, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, we didn't have time or the money to put new tires on the truck. And this is an incredible thing. And the tires were bald. They're below the tread line. And we drove all the way to Alaska, you know, on the Alcan Highway, pulling about 8,000 pounds all the way. We didn't have a single flat. You know, the Lord protected us, you know. And as we drove through, we came to the border, you know, that they told us was closed. We wouldn't be able to cross.
Yep.
And they asked us where we're going, what we're doing. So we explained to them the whole story, you know, how God had, you know, God had worked and opened the doors. And they were just incredulous. They couldn't believe that, you know, you talked to these people 2 weeks ago, you never met them, and now you're just dropped everything and you're driving up there. And they're like, yeah, you know, God has led us. That's where we're going. And they couldn't believe it. They really didn't know what to say. And so, you know, after a few minutes, they're like, okay, well, go for it. You can go. And they let us through. It was just awesome to see how God opened that completely closed door. This is an international border.
And if you had any less of an incredible story, they would have just said, go home, right?
Yeah.
They're stunned.
But there's nothing they could say. You know, they didn't know what to say. And so they let us through. And, you know, along the way, you know, there was deadlines. We had to drive through each province in a certain amount of time. And, you know, we had to drive 16 hours a day. I driving one vehicle, my wife in another with a 6-month-old baby. And but, you know, the Lord sustained us all the way. And there's even one point we were driving. My wife was riding behind me. And she saw a small metal object go bouncing down the road out from underneath the horse trailer. And, you know, she thought maybe it came off the truck or the trailer. So she's honking the horn, trying to flash the lights. But, you know, around the trailer with the loud diesel truck, I couldn't hear or see. And so I just kept going 3 miles until the place where I was turning off. And my wife told me, I saw something go flying off the vehicle. You know, you might want to check and see where that came from. So I looked around the truck and trailer. I don't know where it came from. It must be okay. So I started to unload the horses. And as soon as I stepped in the back and the horses shifted their weight, the whole trailer tipped up. Came right off the hitch. Like, what happened? So I went and looked, and what my wife had seen bouncing down the road was a nut that holds the ball onto the hitch. And it was just had just been sitting there for 3 miles. And this is, you know, part of the road where it's got frost heaves, you know, bumps.
What part of Canada is that?
That was in Yukon Territory.
Okay, so there's not a lot of things
there was
around there.
Nothing around. And we drove 3 miles. It could have fallen off at any point, you know. I like to believe our guardian angels are right there just, you know, holding that trailer to the truck, because I don't see any other way. The horses, you know, are moving around. You know, as soon as they just shifted a tiny bit when I went to, it just popped up. Mm-hmm. And that could have happened anywhere on that road, you know, going 60 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And it could have been terrible, but, you know, the Lord protected and held it together. And, you know, we had no mechanical problems on the whole journey.
Yeah, just thinking of God's leading there is like, 2 weeks prior, you were praying and saying, God, we want to follow you.
Yeah.
Having no idea that in 2 weeks, you'd be in the middle of the Yukon in two vehicles that you didn't own before that, with horses that you'd never been around, driving to a place you'd never been. That's just following God in faith.
Yeah. And it was such an incredible experience, because, you know, it wasn't until we, you know, kind of said, okay, we'll go, you know, knowing, seeing nothing, that God just opened those doors wide open. You know, and he made the way possible, you know, helped us find the place that he was leading us to, you know, get those two vehicles. You know, it was kind of like that experience, you know, that the children of Israel, you know, when the Lord told the priests they had to step their feet into the Jordan, You know, yep. When their feet touched the water, then the waters were stopped.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until that point. And that's kind of what it felt like for us. It's like, once we were willing to say, okay, we'll put our feet in the water, then the Lord opened the way. Mm-hmm. And that has been an incredible, faith building experience for my wife and I. And even just since we've been here, things were not exactly what we thought. You know, there's been struggles and disappointments, but, we just, knowing that this is where God led us, and we still see evidences of His leading every day, we just can't help but praise Him. And just, we're so excited to see what He has to see happening.
Absolutely.
To happen here. And, just a new thing that I hadn't shared with you yet, Pastor Ryan, that just happened since the men's retreat that we talked about this.
Yeah.
On the way back, one of the trucks that I had bought, just pulled up to a stop sign, and the transmission I heard a loud bang, and that was it. The transmission was done. So I had to tow it back, and I have to get the transmission rebuilt. And praying about, oh, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do that, because my wife and I don't have much money left. We're not getting paid or anything up here, And so we had, budgeted out exactly how much we have to live on each month and how long that's going to get us. And okay, Lord, we can only live so long on what we have. We know You can provide, so we'll trust that. But now, my vehicle has a bad transmission.
Yeah.
And I was praying about it. Lord, what am I going to do? And I got home that night, and my mother in Tennessee called me. She said, yeah, on Sabbath we had an offering at the church, and we raised $1,200.
awesome.
We just felt impressed, to raise $1,200. And that's what I need to get that transmission rebuilt.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even shared with anybody yet, except for my wife.
Yeah.
No one else knew that this had happened. And the Lord had already provided what we needed to get that transmission, to get that transmission rebuilt. And it's just incredible.
Yeah.
It answered the prayer before we even, I was praying, Lord, what am I going to do? But I didn't even think to ask, Lord, can You, send $1,200?
Yeah.
But He's already had that worked out. That was on Sabbath,
yeah.
That had worked out.
Yeah.
And now that was, this all happened on Sunday.
Yeah. And so those who are on the other end of giving in faith, feeling God has called them to give, we have no idea what miracles we might be participating in and how God might use our gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And you were sharing with me that you actually got a college degree, be a registered nurse.
Yes.
Yeah. And so your experience was that you went that route and realized that that was just not you, and God was calling you something different.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I did that, and I enjoy helping people, but I realized that, and the medical field is not the way that God had called me to help people, and that, He'd actually given me the desire to work with my hands, in agriculture, but that desire also for health, to combine, the health, healthful living, and so... It's just interesting, that God called me a different direction than I thought that I was going to go with that nursing. But I wouldn't look back. I don't look back. So.
Yeah. So actually we're having this conversation on the property that God led you to, and it's like 700 acres.
700 right? acres. Yeah.
And I got lost coming out here. It's a little ways out on dirt road in Talkeetna.
Yeah.
And so you have plans for like a farm just over this way. And just tell us a little bit about like what you're working on right now. What are your plans? And then even how people could help. Because I know you mentioned when we were out there that other people just have given money or equipment or these things. So just start with what are your ideas here for this place that God's led you to?
Okay. Well, like I said, my wife and I are really interested in the agriculture, getting the whole thing started. But that's where our experience is, where we'd really like to focus. And so right behind us over there is the area that we want to have the farm. And we want to have a smaller scale. It's probably we'll never get more than 5 acres, but starting out with about 1.5 to 2 acres organic, vegetable production. And so that's because we really believe that we're told in the spirit of prophecy how important agriculture is to education. There's so many life lessons we can learn from it, and it's just really good to grow your own healthy food. And I think that that was God's original plan for us. Where did He put Adam and Eve in the garden? And we're all supposed to be gardeners, so we can't all do that, but I think that's the ideal, and someday in heaven we'll be gardeners again.
Yeah.
And so to me, to be part of that now, that's really awesome, and there's so many things we can learn from it.
And I know that you're not just doing a nice garden for your own benefit. You want to bring other people in, maybe people who feel pushed to get a college degree, but like you are geared more to working with the land.
Yeah.
And give them that opportunity to be a blessing.
Yeah, give them that opportunity to be a blessing. People can learn, the skills, how to do that, because you can go out and support your family, doing something like that. And it can be a ministry. You know, if you're providing produce to, you know, you're taking it places to sell, and you connect with people, you know, food is a personal thing. You know, if someone trusts you with their food, you know, what else can you share with them? You know, and so I think it's not only, you know, an opportunity for someone to, you know, earn their livelihood, you know, a great opportunity, you know, lurking outside, but, you know, it's a way to also can be used as a ministry. So that's just one area we'd like to see, but we'd like to see a lot of other practical areas. Right now we have someone who's interested in coming and teaching auto mechanics, and he's taught that for years. And so he'd like to come and teach, you know, auto mechanics, and actually so that way someone can come and actually learn, not just learn basics, but actually learn the skills to go out and open their own business somewhere. And we'd also like to have construction. We'd like to branch out in a lot of other areas. We have a general contractor that's willing to come out, that wants to, that has that desire, and has already been out here and has already built a cabin down there and wants to, you know, teach others, you know, those skills, you know, and how to use those practical skills for ministry, to reach people. And so that's another desire. And we are open. We'd like to have more trades, but, you know, that's what we have right now to start with, and how the Lord has brought together. But we have people that are interested, experienced in, you know, literature evangelism and health evangelism and other aspects of evangelism that really want to incorporate that in all that we're doing here. And we'd like to eventually, this right here is supposed to be the runway, but we're actually going to be putting another runway up higher.
Yep.
And there's equipment and stuff has been donated for that to put in a runway, because we'd like to extend the ministry. You know, people come and they learn skills, and to go out to the villages out in the Arctic, you know, and be able to fly there and to do mission work in these areas and be able to support themselves. And so that's some of the vision that we have for here. You know, right now there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of cleanup, a lot of prep, and, you know, like doing anything, there's a lot of money that will be needed. But we know that the Lord has been providing. You know, the Lord has placed it on people's hearts for specific items that we've needed already. You know,
right
at the right time, you know, the money has been provided for the things that we've needed. And so we know the Lord will continue guiding. And we're just praying that God will continue to send other people that have the same idea and the vision, that are willing to live sacrificially, you know, and to follow God's leading. And because, you know, we think that, you know, time is short, and it's so important that all of us, you know, as lay people or pastors, anyone should be, you know, really doing the work, you know, finishing the work, you know. And so I think that it would be so awesome if this could be a part of that, you know, helping people to get the skills to support themselves and go out and to minister. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately what we want here. And not just the practical skills, that's the means to, you know, reaching people. You know, to sharing the gospel with them. That's really what we want to see happen, and that's our desire.
Yeah, and I ask you, you know, the plans for this place, and I realize you have ideas, but you know, this is just, we're having this conversation at the end of July. You were planning to like have a timeline that was way further out than this, and so when I ask the plans, you know, I know that you're saying this is what I think from what God's doing, but God's really in charge and he's leading this thing.
Right, exactly. God is in charge, and you know, we're going to follow where he leads. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. And he's opened the doors and pushed that timeline ahead like 2 years of what we thought. So we don't know how exactly he's leading. This is what we see, but like you said, it's his plan, and you know, we're looking to him for guidance. And so how it will be go exactly, you know, we're trusting him with that.
Yeah. And, you know, people hearing this, God can put it on their heart how they're going to be a part of it. And I think one of the things that is just so exciting, you know, we all have our own discouragement with this COVID stuff, and our ministries that we were doing might have got slowed down. And just for people in Alaska to hear that God is alive and active in Alaska, he's doing something, and we can be a part of it. And maybe you have a word for those who just kind of feel like ministry's dead in Alaska and God's not on the move, just to encourage us.
Well, I'll share one encouraging story that I think, you know, we came up here, and in Talkeetna, they have a ministry. People that were already here on the property, they take their little bunnies down to Talkeetna on the weekend, and there's a lot of people going through, and, you know, people come and they hold the bunnies, you know, and little cute little bunnies, and who can resist, you know, a cute little baby bunny? And and then it gives them an opportunity to share with people. You know, and just this year, they've given out 6,000 great controversies. And there have been so many people that have come back and said, you know, that was just what I needed during this time. You know, people during this time, especially, you know, it is hard. You know, I think that all around the world, things are kind of shut down. because of COVID, but I think people's hearts are more open. You know, these people, non-Christians, see what's happening in this world. Things are changing. I think now, more than ever, is an opportunity to be working extra hard. People are searching for something. You know, they want to understand what's going on. And so I think this is a perfect opportunity. You know, we as humans might see, wow, this is kind of a hard time to start something. You know, the world's shutting down. But, you know, God can use this as a great opportunity to start something, because he sees men's hearts and he knows the timing, you know. And I believe that this is a great time to be doing something like this, to be working for the Lord, because people are truly seeking. They're seeking for something better. You know, they're seeking for answers, for meaning in life. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to, you know, to be part of showing them what that is. You know, and it's just incredible that the Lord can use us to do that. So that's my word of encouragement.
We'll put some contact information up at the end of this conversation. So if someone just has it on their heart to be involved in some way, they can contact you. And just that we could commit to praying for what God's doing here. And
yes.
I go back to our conversation when we were up there at the men's retreat. I think, you know, we're just standing on either end of your four-wheeler, just talking there, standing in the dirt. And by the end of your conversation, I just wanted to praise God, because I was thinking, you are so good and you're so faithful. And I hope that those who are listening can just hear that sense that this might not be their story, but it's what God does. He has a plan, and he's never just sitting back and letting things fall apart. He's leading us in his will. And I think that we can just praise God for that, his faithfulness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, every time I share, it just excites me again to remember how God has, you know, how faithful he's been and how he's led. It's just, yes, praise God. That's just what it comes down to. We have to just praise him for what he's done.
Yeah.
And he's continuing to do in all of our lives. So.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, thank you for sharing today. I think you've helped a lot of people to just have renewed faith in God's leading.
Well, praise and, the Lord. I hope so. Pray so.
Trust him. And I want to pray. Let's have a prayer that over all these things God's doing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, just praise you for being so faithful. Even if our story looks nothing like how you've led Rob, you're the same God who loves us and puts things on our hearts and leads us in your path and provides just every piece we need if we will follow you. I pray a blessing on Rob and his family and the partners here that who are willing to be a part of this ministry, that their hearts would be faithful, strong, surrendered, and they'd have endurance, because there's going to be more hard stuff they have to face. I pray that they would remember how miraculously you've led them to get here, and that would keep them going as you lead in the future. And for all of us who are hearing the story, Lord, we want to renew our trust in you. We believe you're a faithful God. We believe that you have a plan for us to participate in. We believe that we can be a ministry to others, that they would know you and prepare for your second coming. And we want to do that. We want to be fully engaged in what you're doing. And so for those listening to this story, we want to recommit our hearts to trusting in you, to following your lead and knowing that you will provide as a faithful God. And just praise you that we could have this conversation and be reminded of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the Palmer Seventh-day Adventist Church. Find us online at palmerak.adventistchurch.org and at pastorryanrogers.com.